Luke chapter 4, verse 16, I want to start reading something. This chapter's in my spirit, in my soul, and I believe it's in my body. Luke chapter 4, verse 16 says, he went to Nazareth where he was brought up, and as his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. There was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. He opened up the book and found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. For he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And all the eyes of them in the synagogue were fastened upon him. He began to say, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? I can quote this chapter. It is in me. I love this. And the Lord told me years ago, start preaching on things in the Bible that are not obvious. Most people preach the obvious. A statement that's not very obvious, you know, because people read over it as a part of a sentence, as his custom was. He went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. Notice this, that Jesus was a churchgoer. It was his custom to go to church. It's my custom to go to church. My daughter's now 29 years old, but when she was little, she says, Dad, why do you like to go to church so much? I like to eat. It's a place where you receive a meal from the Lord God. Didn't you walk in and people said, pew for two? You know, stuff like that. You're about ready to receive from God, the word of the living God. So it was his custom to go to church. I even go to church on my vacations. People say, don't you want to rest? Yeah. Usually I say, I'm not going. And all of a sudden I go, yeah, I got to go. I went to a little church several years ago. I get messed up in these time warps because I'm preaching all the time. And I went into this church, had about 40 people. And I just sat down and they looked at me and said, are you Jesse Duplantis? You look just like Jesse Duplantis. I said, I'm a twin brother. They said, what are you doing here? Glory to God. And I realized why I went there. The Lord sent me there to buy them people a refrigerator. It was a very small church and they were believing God for a refrigerator, you know. And they were going to receive it all. And the Lord said, buy the refrigerator. So I did. And thank you. And they said, oh, you don't have to do that. I said, oh, I must. I ain't going to hell over a refrigerator. You got to do what God tells you. Like what Sister Dodie said, you should be a tither. You need to be a tither. God not trying to get something from me, trying to get something to you. It's an exchange. He wants the blessing on you. Most people think about the blessings. Forget that. I'm talking about the blessing, the ability to prosper. God blessed Abraham. Didn't give him a donkey. Didn't give him a cow or a goat. Blessed him, gave him the ability to get any donkey he wanted, any camel he wanted, any cow he wanted, any goat he wanted. The blessing of the Lord. And then Abraham blessed Isaac. Didn't give him a donkey. Gave him the ability to prosper. The word blessed means the ability to prosper. So then Isaac blessed Jacob. Then Jacob blessed Joseph. Joseph blessed Jesus. Jesus blessed Jesse. Here I am. The ability to flow. So it was his custom to go to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He stood up to read. There was delivered to him the book of the prophet Isaiah. He opened the book and found the place where it's written. Now things get real exciting in that next verse because everything turns red. I'm telling you what, revelation is coming out of Jesus' mouth. The Spirit of the Lord God's upon me, for he hath anointed me. To do what? Preach the gospel. What's the gospel? Good news. Notice that the first person he would preach it to the poor. What's good news to poor people? Ain't gonna be poor no more. That's good news. You can't find the word gospel in the Old Testament. It's not in that. You know why? It means good news. Why is it in the Old Testament? Ain't no good news back there. To the Jew, he said, do this or die. That's called law. But to me and you in the New Testament, he didn't give us a law. He gave us a way. Embodied in an actual personality called the Holy Spirit. I'm preaching better than you're shouting right now. So he said, the Spirit of the Lord God's upon me, for he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. preach deliverance to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. That's the first preaching message Jesus ever preached to a congregation in a church. Before he was a field ministry. Now he's in the church. The Bible said he closed the book and gave it again to the minister. I want to talk about that this morning. He closed the book. This book is a closed book. Let me tell you something. He said, by his stripes ye were healed. How do you know you're going to get healed? It's a closed book. You understand? He closed the book. He said, by his stripes you were and you are healed. When I don't feel healed, when I'm not moved by my feeling, I'm moved by what I believe. I don't deny sickness in my body. I deny its right. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't have time to get sick. I'm preaching too much. Are you understand what I'm saying? How do you know that? It's a closed book. That doesn't mean the devil doesn't attack your body. That doesn't mean the devil hadn't attacked my body. But you see, I had the devil one time tell me, he said, your future's bad. I said, excuse me. Let me read you your future, boy. You're going to burn, sucker. Now I'm going to show you where you're going to burn. You're going to burn. And I'm going to watch you burn. It's a closed book. Glory to God. It's a closed book. Why do you believe in your family? Because Jesus said, I got the promise of my family down to 1,000 generations. How do you know they're going to get saved? It's a closed book, ladies and gentlemen. They're going to get saved whether they like it or not. Glory to God. They're going to get saved because God said they would. Save my mother-in-law. I know he can save anybody. If she ever comes here, don't tell her I said that, will you? He closed the book. Why do you believe in prosperity? Because he closed the book. Why do you believe in that 100-fold stuff? Because I need it. If I didn't need it, I wouldn't believe for it. Ladies and gentlemen, just that simple. It's a closed book. You notice the Bible said he closed the book. And I would have never thought twice about that if the Pharisee would have closed the book, if the Sadducee would have closed the book, if the zealot or even the priest, but Jesus closed the book and he gave a closed book to a minister. You know what that means? He ain't interested in your opinions. He's interested in what he said. He said, I've given you a revelation. Bless God, and a revelation will cause a revolution in your life that will you will receive what God has for you. He closed the book. Now, when he closed that book, that just blesses me. The book, the closed book meant all Judaism represented by priest, prophet, and temple was now a closed issue. It was over. They were looking for the Messiah. That was in part. Now, that which is perfect had come. He closed the book. Glory to God. So when the devil said, when he starts talking about stuff, one time, let me just say this. The Lord really rebuked me bad. I was aggravated because the devil was stopping everything I was doing. So I just thought I'd talk to God about it. I said, come here. Listen, I've got problems here. Everything I'm trying to do, the devil seems to be shutting it down. How do I get rid of him? He said, treat him like you treat me. Don't do anything he says. I thought, oh, Jesus, help me, Lord. Look at some of y'all. Boy, I know what you're talking about. He closed the book. So I made up my mind. People say, why are you so happy? Because the book has been closed, ladies and gentlemen. God can't take anything. He can't add nothing. He can't take anything away. He says, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that's gone out of my lips. If you get God to say something, it will come to pass. It has got to come to pass. I had a man tell me not long ago. He said, well, supposing Jesus tarries and you die. I said, that's what I'm supposed to do. I mean, I ain't looking forward to it. I know where they're going to put my body. I got one of those places. I don't look at it very much. You know, I've prepared. I've taken care of my wife. I've taken care of my family. I've done all that kind of stuff. But I'm planning on not using that thing. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. I've prepared. I've done everything that I think any man's supposed to do. Because Abraham prepared. But I'm believing Jesus to come into my life. I want him to come while he's in my life. I mean, I want him to come while I'm living. Not that I'm afraid to die. I just want to go in the rapture. I want to go for that ride's sake. Go for that ride. Just, I like to try that. He closed the book. That means he's coming, ladies and gentlemen. It's a closed book issue. Do you understand? I mean, you got to understand something. The book was the echo, but Jesus is the voice. They were looking for the Messiah. And my God, he was right in front of them and they couldn't notice him or see. He said, is not this Joseph's son? No, this ain't Joseph's son. This is God's boy. Do you know that God will not let Mary name Jesus? Most women name the babies. Women are the most powerful in the world. They're controlling everything. It's the truth. I saw the offering a while ago. I saw men go, what we gonna give, honey? Men ain't got no money. They just got what their wives give them. It's a closed book. You understand what I'm saying? People say, why do you have such a good marriage? Because I'm an obedient servant. Hey, man, I don't need to fight. It's her house. It's her car. The only thing I own is a garbage can. That's all I got. But that's okay. I'm an easy man. I follow her to the mall. I just walk behind her. Go ahead, honey. I just come on with you. Bless God. I ain't got no problems with that. You know, I believe in obeying. Come on, ladies, I'm setting you free. I am the head of my house. I didn't say I was the boss. I said I was the head of my house. We don't have bosses in our marriage. It's a closed book. We submit to each other. God is my witness. We really do. You want a good marriage, share each other's interest. I don't particularly care walking around a mall. Now I've learned to like it. Because women look at dresses that don't even fit them. They look at sizes that they wish they could get in, or bless God, or whatever. I don't know. I just go along. I just go with it. I'm not interested in a lot of that stuff, but that's okay. I just go on. Come Christmas, come time for buying gifts, I just pay. I'm just behind there. Yeah, that's what she want. Give it to the woman. I have no trouble with that. But there comes a time when she's got to share my interests. That means get yourself on the back of this motorcycle, mama. We're going to go down the road. Glory to God. I even buy her some fake tattoos. Put them on your arm there, mama. Glory to God. Pray that it don't rain so they don't wash off, you know. She's learned to like it. She didn't like it at first, but she does now. I didn't like all that stuff I did, but I like it now. Why? She didn't understand it, and I didn't understand what she was liking. But now it's a closed book. He closed the book. Ladies and gentlemen, do you understand that the book was the teaching, but Jesus was the teacher? I don't know about you, but I want a God that I can talk to. I'm tired about this God being way over there. You never know what God gonna do. Well, read his book. He is the book. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. He closed the book. Glory to God. So I know I'm going to receive. Why? It's a closed book issue. It makes no choice. It makes no difference what the devil says. I mean, I know he's in this world, but that's God. I'm in it, but I'm not of it. I have many opportunities to get depressed. I just don't take any. I mean, yeah, many opportunities, but you just say, no, I don't think I'm going to do that today. I mean, sometimes, you know, I have people say, but Jesse, what bothers you? Traffic. So I bought a plane to fly over it. It's wonderful. But now they got traffic up there. We were coming into Houston. I said, don't they know I'm going to Lakewood Church? No, they don't care. The other day I got stuck in front of Al Gore on the presidential, what do you call it, Air Force Two. I said, do they know who I am? They could care less. Shut us down, but just had to wait. I don't care if you're flying and the president or any one of the people are flying. If they're in Air Force One or Air Force Two, you're not going to land first. It's a closed book. They're going to make you circle or they'll shut that airport down for 45 minutes.
till they're on the ground. Everything's completely. And they have to do that for security. One time, the president of the United States flew into New Orleans. Well, they didn't know I was in the hangar. I happened to go to the hangar. I come walking out my hangar. When I did, a helicopter went. I went, whoa.
Who are you?
I said, I'm a minister.
Sure you are.
No, I am. But what happened was, I guess the secret, I don't know what happened. They didn't check that I was in there. I had just went to my airplane to get some stuff there at the thing. They didn't know I was there. You don't do that. That means, you ever seen a helicopter come at you? You think you're in Vietnam. Whoa. I mean, they come hovering right there. Who are you? Before no two cars came, whoa. They checked me out. I mean, I'll tell you what, boy, if you're a Baptist, you'll speak in tongues. I mean, people are serious. They're serious. And they need to be serious. They need to be. So when you understand that it's a closed book, he closed the book. And if he closed the book, bless God, no devil in hell can open it. Oh, you understand what I'm saying? So if you're believing for your husband, do you understand what you say? My husband, he ain't saved. No, he's not. And he may be giving you a hard time, but he is planned for salvation. The Bible said God has sanctified him, that the believing spouse sanctifies the unbelieving. That doesn't mean they're saved. The word sanctify means set apart for salvation. That's why he can't get along with you when you go to the church, and you can't get along with him when you're out there, because you ain't going out there in the world with him, and he don't feel good in the church. What happens is he can't get along with the church, and he can't get along with the world, because God has sanctified him, pulled him out, put him over here, and the Holy Ghost going bam, 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 just knocking sin off the boy. I'm telling you. And he don't know what's happening, so don't treat him bad or don't treat her bad. Just know that God's word will come to pass, because it's a closed book. He closed the book and gave it again to the minister. People ask me all the time, if you don't tell me, Reverend Duplantis or Dr. Duplantis or Brother Jesse, what do you think concerning this particular situation? I do this. Because God could care less about my opinions. Opinions are transitory forms of thought floating on the ocean of life. I may not sound smart, but I got a little sense. Let me slow it down. Opinions are transitory forms of thought floating on the ocean of life. They change with every wave. That really impressed you, didn't it? God could care less what I think. I just tell them what God said. Now, sometimes they don't want to receive what God said. They say, well, we don't believe that. I said, well, that's your fault. He can't add anything to it, and he can't change it. Now, I've said it here before. I'll say it again. There's some scriptures in here I don't particularly care for. Don't look at me weird. There's some in here you don't care for. Render good for evil? No. No, you don't want to do that. Somebody just get in your face and cuss you? You want to say, you want to dance with me? You want some of this? Bless God, we're from Texas, boy. But you can't do that. You got to render good. Man asked me this just last night. I got, hey, what do you think about the presidential elections? I'm not thinking. Oh, I could tell you what I think, but it wouldn't do no good. But it sure would help me out a lot. I just have to go back and see if I can count and recount my thoughts. Well, I just had to sit there. Just Lord Jesus, man. There's 7,000 jobs need to be fulfilled during the transitional period of a new president. 3,500 of them, I believe, are full-time, and the rest are part-time that you have to be called on, and if the president calls on you. And we better hurry up. What do you think about butterfly ballot? They should have flew them babies away. I guess I don't know. But it's a closed book. I just want somebody to win. I don't want to be shooting dice. Okay. Is it Gore? Is it Bush? Come on, Lord.
want somebody to win. I thought about throwing my name in the hat. Why not? Everybody else is. Say, count that. Just get in there. Lord, something. But will the country be able to come together? Yes, it will. You won't have to worry about this country. Because let me tell you something. God is using this country and using this church as a vital part of it to get the word of God all over the world, man. He ain't going to let this thing go down. He can't let this thing go down. You see what I'm saying? Because we finance, the United States of America finances 90% of all gospel in the world. God ain't going to throw that away. I'll tell you something. I really believe this. What keeps this nation alive is the church. What keeps the morality of America flowing is the church. And that's really the truth, ladies and gentlemen. See, it's a closed book. So there's some things that you can't open up. Well, let's have a discussion on it. You can't. Now I'm going to do a little pastoral this morning. You can't discuss it. It's a closed book. Yeah, but we need to modernize the teaching. No, you can't change the teachings of Jesus. He means what he says and says what he means. Now, there's some things he said I don't particularly care for. And there's some things Jesus said you don't particularly care for because they go against the grain of your thinking. He says to give when you don't have much. You go, no. It don't make any sense. The Bible says, lean not to your own understanding. Book of Proverbs. Let me translate that for you. Your brain don't work. Your brain does not work when it comes to the things of God. Be not wise in thy own eyes. It's in that same chapter, Proverbs. Let me help you again. Your brain don't work. You have to receive the mind of Christ, which is burden-removing, yoke-destroying power. See, you got to flow in that avenue. You understand what I'm saying? How many times I've tried to get God to change his mind? I said, this is good, Lord. He said, well, then do it. I said, I can tell you ain't going to help me do it. He said, it's not my idea. But if you want to do it your way, go ahead. But when you fall in a hole, don't call on me. I already thought my plan was good. But I didn't consider God in this situation. Because I got to watch myself. You know, I like business. I can get into business. And I'm pretty good at it. I don't mean that arrogant. I'm pretty good at it. But sometimes I think, well, you know, we'll do this. And then the Lord says, well, did you ask me? I said, I forgot. Then there's been some times the Lord said, whatever you decide, just say, I'll back. And sometimes I don't want to decide. I said, well, why don't you make the decision? Don't shout me down. How many times we wanted God to say, the Lord said, and if it don't happen, it ain't our fault. Well, Ezekiel did the same thing. God said, can these bones live? Yes. You know what, Ezekiel? He must have been Pentecostal. He said, oh, Lord God, you know. Give it your best shot, God. I don't know. Oh, Lord God, thou knowest. What do you mean? He's asking you, can these bones live, Ezekiel? You'd prefer not to make that decision. You understand what I'm saying? But you see, the decision's already been made because he closed the book. And if he closed the book, then bless God, the devil can't do a thing about it. And he gave a closed book again to a minister. So I believe it. People say, are you one of them rapture people? Well, yeah, why? He closed the book. Do you believe in being a tither? Let me tell you, all these people looking across the New Testament. Wonder if tithing's in the New Testament. Let me help you out. It's all over the Bible. Jesus is the same yesterday. He's the center of both testaments, old and new. Let me ask you a question. Why was prosperity so accepted in the Old Testament, but not accepted in the New Testament? You ever notice that? Prosperity was totally accepted in the Old Testament. I mean, from Genesis to Malachi, ain't nobody had no problem with prosperity. My God, everyone that got close to God got rich. Abraham became very rich, Genesis 13. Isaac, rich. I'm talking rich here. Jacob, rich. Even Esau, rich. Job, real rich. The richest man in the East. Why do you think the devil attacked him? Do you know why the devil attacked him? He said, if I can get his goods, he'll curse you. A rich man can hurt the devil just with physical money.
which is not, money is not a spiritual thing at all. Yet with that power, because there's an economic world, Satan knows a rich man can hurt him. So he attacked it. David, rich. Solomon, super rich. That boy has some money. Make Bill Gates look like a pauper. The Bible said no one has ever been as rich or will ever be as rich as Solomon. Solomon had a staff of people counting gold 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and couldn't get through it all. And the Bible says that when he came for silver, he said, I ain't got time to count that trash. Throw it away, man. And he gave away silver as stones in Jerusalem. That's in the Bible. That's rich. The Jews have no problem with rich. Why do you think the Jews have been attacked for centuries and millenniums? Because everybody thinks they're too rich. They believe in prosperity. But something happened between Malachi and Matthew. Even if you look in your Bible, you'll find an empty page. And it seemed like in the New Testament, now he's El Shaddai of the Old Testament. How come he's El Cheapo of the New Testament? God never changes. He's the El Shaddai in the Old and the El Shaddai in the New. He don't change. But why? And you know the New Testament has more prosperity scripture in it than the Old Testament? But something happened. You can look in your Bible, you'll find an empty page. Didn't even have enough money to print on it. The devil sold a bag of goods to the New Testament church that's caused more problems in the body of Christ in the world. Two things he gave them. He sold it to them. Poverty and celibacy. A lot of frustrated people out there. God say it ain't good for man to be alone. He know you. Then it dawned on me, why did the New Testament church, it seemed like the poor you were in the New Testament, the closer to God you were. Why did it hit me? Nowhere in the Old Testament does it say go in the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You can't find it. From Genesis to Malachi. It's not in there. You know what's in the Old Testament? Go to the promised land. Have some milk. Eat some honey. Have a grape. You've arrived. That's it. But in the New Testament, he said, go to Jerusalem. Go to Judea. Go to Samaria. Go to Houston. Go to the othermost parts of the world. The devil sold poverty as a blessing to the New Testament church to stop the prophetic utterance that fell from the lips of Jesus. God wants you blessed because he's El Shaddai in the old and he's El Shaddai in the new. It's not a money thing. It's a God thing. You notice what they said on that sign? It said 7 years of harvest. It didn't say 7 years of sowing. Because sowing's good, but my God, harvest is better. Why? Because you can bless others. The best thing you can do for a poor man is for you not to be poor. Because you can help someone. Now, I don't believe in finance and poverty. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Church world for centuries has financed poverty. God never told us to finance poverty. He told us to eradicate it. He gave us the blood of Jesus to eradicate sin. Took care of that. Blood of Jesus washed your sin away. Gave us the stripes on Jesus' back to eradicate sickness. The devil attack your body. You can believe God for a miracle. Glory to God and get you healed. Why have we financed poverty? This is good stuff. Why did we finance poverty? If you look in Acts, the book of Acts, they bring a crippled man and put him right in front of the church and ask him to beg. Won't you help me? Won't you help me? Couldn't go in the temple, and everything that represented God, beautiful, was that temple. But he couldn't go in it. And his friends and everybody financed his poverty. Ain't nobody helped him. Then here come Peter and John. They say, you got some money? Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ, and now that rise up and walk. Now, why didn't Peter and John have money that day? Because God didn't want them financing that man's poverty. He said, rise up and walk. He should have finished it and work. And work. Let me prove something to you. When that man got his healing, he now had the ability to work. They shut down his poverty. You find him no more in the New Testament begging in front of a church. Now he's rose up, he's walking, and he's working, and he's giving. Oh, you understand my point? God didn't want nobody financing that man's poverty. For 40 years, they financed that man's poverty. God never told us to finance poverty. He told us to eradicate it.
You pay people to be poor, they stay poor. You got to get them out of that. That poverty is a cancer because they want to be a blessing themselves. And Jesus, man, my Lord, Jesus said, well, you know, Jesus didn't have much. You feed 5,000 people with a 2-piece fish dinner, you're doing good. You got 12 people on your staff, 70 part-time, you send it out. You ain't broke. You got a thief. Listen to this. You got a guy stealing from you for 3 years and nobody knows it. A broke man would know it immediately. And then Peter would have killed Judas in a second, man. He had something, ladies and gentlemen. Now, the thing that amazed me about Jesus was the love of God he had for people. I asked him one time in prayer, I said, why didn't you fire Judas? I'd have fired him in a second. People stealing money from my ministry, I'll fire him in a second. Why? Because partners and friends give down ministry. You think I'm going to let them steal your money? No! Why didn't you fire him, Jesus? He said, because I loved them more than the money he was stealing. Now, buddy, that's a revelation right there. I'll tell you something else. Jesus never exposed him. Jesus could have said, Peter, let me tell you about Judas. And Peter said, I'll make him an offer. He can't refuse. I take care of him, Jesus. No problem. He's a stone in your shoe. We'll take care of that. Didn't expose him. But for 3 years, God showed mercy upon Judas. Jesus said, come on, Judas, come on. Come on, Judas, repent, come on. He knew he was stealing. My God, Judas, the Bible said you are counted amongst them. You're one of the 12. Come on, Judas. Man, that's mercy and grace screaming to that man. But he refused to accept it. He closed the book on himself. Then Jesus called him son of perdition. What you do, do quickly. He wouldn't think, why didn't God make him? Because God created him a free will. Some people say he was predestined to betray Jesus. No, he had that in his line or in his life. All he had to do was say no. Man asked me the other day about genetic disorders. I was born that way. Come here. Let me tell you something about sin. Sin has damaged so much of the world that it's actually damaged the genetic processes. Do you understand that? Do you know if you put enough stress and worry on somebody, the molecular substance will change in your body and you'll get ulcers? Something happens. Sin's been so heavy on this world that I honestly believe at times it has changed some genetic disorders. I don't believe people are born that way. People say, I have a fat gene. Well, you might, but you don't have to be fat. Well, how do I not be fat? I ain't saying it's easy. What follows my family, probably more than anything else, is temper. How many times I said, Lord, I've lost my temper. He said, look like to me, you found it, Jesse. No, you can change anything that's been given to you by your mama, your daddy, your grandma, your Uncle Fred. How? You do it through the power of a renewed mind. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's like one lady told me, she said, I'm fat. You know, it's in the genes. I said, look, it's outside the genes over on this side over here. Now, did I shake you up on that? I mean, let's don't lie about it. The truth, the truth. But you see, I don't mind anybody being fat. That ain't none of my business. I told Kathy, you want to get fat? Get fat, Mama. I don't care. I don't care if my wife weighs 300 pounds. I just want her healthy. Her body belongs to her. It ain't mine. That ain't none of my business. I don't like the pressure that sometimes men put on women. Hey, what, honey? If you look at you gaining some weight there, why don't you go grow some hair? Those things are not easy. Look, the world's tough, man. You know what I'm saying? Be healthy. Be yourself. Bless God. You don't marry someone's body. Because I don't care how good looking it is. It's going down. I've said it here before. You should have seen me when I was young. My, I was good looking. I was. I had one of them hard bodies. Oh, man, you should have. I could have done the abdominal commercial. I had them muscles on my stomach. I looked like a washboard. But something happened. Something attacked me over here. The twin brother live over here too. Whole family live here. Now it's starting to sag here. Look at it. It's terrible. I mean, this thing's got, look, I can put it in my shirt. Look. I'm thinking about having it cut off and sucked up. Bless God, how you. I can show you pictures. You'd go, wow. Woo. Yet my wife, she told me before she went to California, you look better now, Jesse, than you did when I married you. She going blind, Jesus. She going blind. It's not true. It's not true. That's not true. That's not true. But she thinks it is. I got wrinkles. I mean, I can get, there's a lot here, man. I can just pull back, suck that baby up, dye my hair. But I'm like God, I change not. I don't care. My wife says, I'll say this in close, she worry about my skin. I could care less about my skin. You know, you need to put some moisturizer on your face. I could care less about that. She said, one woman told me one time at Dillard's, you need to be exfoliated. I said, yo, mama. I didn't know what that was. I never heard of that in my life. I proved to you, men never hear that word. I want every man, every man, listen to me. If you don't know what exfoliated means, please stand to your feet. Come on, every man, if you don't know what it means. Look at it. You see what I'm talking about? We don't know what that is. We could care less. You got to buy this stuff to remove some of your skin cells. And it costs you $138. You know, you get your 18 cents bar of lava, it'll take your skin off your skull. You talk about exfoliated, son. I had a lady ask me one time, she said, but Jesse, you got any anointing on cellulite? People get crazy. You know? I said, cellulite? Yeah, you know, women don't like them bumps. Women worry about that. Honey, you see any bumps? Any bumps? Any bumps? Husband said, oh, no, honey, just a little hail damage. That's all. Just a little hail damage. We'll fix all that up. Bless God. Put a little Bondo on that. We'll figure all that out there. Don't worry about it. Who cares? If he married you for your body, he married you for the wrong reason. Or vice versa. You marry somebody because you love them. How do you know that? It's a closed book. Till death do you part. What's wrong with that? I know some of y'all think, I can't believe he said that. Because you got it, that's why. But that's okay. I tell you what, me and Kathy have been married over 30 years, be 31 years in June next year. And I'll tell you one thing, God is my witness. It seems like every year, and I mean this, I have a better marriage every year. I told Kathy, I said, oh, we're not like them old people. I see sometimes old people, they look at each other. I said, Lord Jesus, I don't want to get like that. I had a man ask me that day about race. What would you do if Jesus? What would you say to Jesus if he was black? I'd say, what's up? What's up? Hey. It's okay with me. I don't care. It doesn't make me no difference. I'm just glad he's coming. It's a closed book. Come on, give the Lord a big God bless. Woo! I'm gonna buy this tape myself. I just closed all my. I didn't even have no notes. He closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And all the eyes of them in the synagogue were fastened upon him. He began, he didn't finish, he began to say, "This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears." And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. What was those gracious words? "Spirit of the Lord God's upon me. For he had anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Preach deliverance to the captives. Recovery of sight to the blind. To set at liberty them that are bruised. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord." So those are gracious words. But they were gracious then. They're gracious now. Everyone stand to your feet. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. God does not have a problem for you. He has an answer for you.